trying to? Are you reading Jonathan's grrr out? Yes, mummy. No, well, never mind that. Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day
312.
How are we all doing? I managed the first thing, Jonathan. Only just.
Come on then, let's go and play.
Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Sarah.
Do you want to play?
Oh, poor Jonathan. Be your turn tomorrow, Jonathan, because it's two show Friday.
You don't want to play.
You don't want to play. No, no, Daddy.
You want a biscuit.
I want a biscuit, but I'll play if I have to get a biscuit.
Come on then, you can have a biscuit.
Oh, you spoiled girl.
You're all played out, aren't you?
No, no, no. I just want it to not be snowing, Daddy. Or flooding. Or biblical rain.
Who's got it?
What have I got? What do we do? High five! Oh, do we not do? We do, don't we? Come on, properly. Okay, there we go. Oh, it's a brown biscuit, that, mummy. And I'm heading off with it. Right, she's headed off with a biscuit bow. Lucky, lucky girl. So, how's life treating everybody else? Weather-wise, it's been a bit of a mixture here, hasn't it,
mate? It's been all right.
Yeah.
It was heavy snow overnight.
That was weird, because during the show, if you were with us last night, you will have heard the rain, and it was absolutely lashing it down. So when it's rained, it doesn't usually snow straight after, does it? And if it does, it doesn't stick. Then we had biblical snow, didn't we?
We had biblical snow.
And it did. It stuck. Oh, I've got pictures for tomorrow. It did. Straight away. So about an hour and a quarter later, it was snowing, and we got about 2 inches of snow. It's just been insane. It's one thing after the other.
By the time I... Is it raining again?
Let's have a look. Probably, Mike. Mm.
By the time I went for a walk, the snow had all but disappeared.
That's because it rained overnight.
It was weird. I was walking down this road and near the medical centre, and there was about 10 foot of pavement where it literally looked like it had never snowed. And then a little bit further on, and there was bits of snow there.
It depends.
And then, of course, I was taking a photo of something, which I shan't mention.
No, don't. That's for tomorrow.
I was trying to put my phone away, and she pulled me, and I nearly slipped over.
Given what you were trying to take a photo of, I'm surprised she wasn't stood there, thinking it would be a good idea to bring it home.
I nearly pressed an icon on my phone, the one that says, "Call Elaine."
Given that it was about, what, 6:15, that probably wouldn't have been the best idea.
That's a bit like butt dialing with my finger.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's dog dialing.
Dog dialing.
So, Jonathan, did it snow in the centre of Manchester? This is what we need to know. Because it definitely did here. It was lovely to see the snow, you know, but if people could just stay home, then there would be fewer accidents. Because the day's been riddled with accidents. Because people won't stay home. Oh, and apparently, I missed Priti Patel today. I thought about watching it. This is our Home Secretary. Should I say laughable Home Secretary?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I can't. I'll look at the summary later. It'll put me in too much of a bad mood. She's in charge of law and order. And her best suggestion so far is to fine partygoers £800. Don't you have to fine them first? I mean, there are no words for the stupidity. I mean, if you put the army out on the streets, stop them actually going to a party in the first place. Because fining them, what good will it do? Half of them won't pay it anyway. It just seems to be that the same old, same old, same old. We're going to do this. We've had laws in place, but now we're actually going to enforce them. And now the fine's gone up from £200 to £800. There you go. Jonathan was wrapped up warm in bed. No snow. Last night was biblical. Oh, it snowed. It did snow for Jonathan. Excellent. But it was biblical. Yeah, it did rain badly. Yes. I was up at about 3:20 and it started lashing it down. I thought, that's a shame because it'll take the snow away. There was still some snow this morning. The snow seems to be on the side of the road that doesn't get the sun because it was quite sunny this morning as well. Anyway, hello, Simon. Did Simon get any snow? Probably not. Hello, Anthony. Oh, Sarah watched it. Sarah made the mistake of watching Priti Patel. completely gobsmacked by the report that the police, on the number of parties that they've stopped.
Oh, Simon got no snow.
There are some complete idiots out there. Well, apparently some of them live very close to Jonathan, don't they, Jonathan? Oh, you see, Alex has got snow, but no snow for Simon. Oh, so sorry, Simon. Are you on low ground or something? I think we'll call this a win this week if you're not flooded. Because we've had 3,000 people evacuated so far in Manchester. It's not good. Let's just say, after so much rain, it's not good. I've got the full list of catastrophes for tomorrow for the week at Mount Pilate's headquarters, but let's just say at the moment, it is not good. We have got flooding to the point that people, the places they're attempting to live are not habitable. From North Manchester, East Manchester, right the way down to Cheshire. There's a friend of ours just moved into a little village called Lim, which was where I went to school, only for a year. When I was 11 to 12, my first year at high school. When the weather is bad there, we're talking Antarctic, it's bad. But I don't think we ever had flooding because there were floodplains, huge floodplains, and they flooded regularly, but it meant that the houses didn't. Not so anymore. So they are literally waist deep in water in some houses there, very close to where I used to live. But it's also bad all over Manchester. So, yeah, 3,000 people evacuated so far. Where they've put them, I have no idea. Because if you can imagine having to leave your home with 20 minutes notice in the middle of a pandemic, what would you take? Would you be able to grab everything in 20 minutes? I don't think there are things that I would want. I don't think I could find in 20 minutes. So here's hoping. We're still in the middle of it. We've got flooding, very bad flooding, about a mile up the road, just behind the church. And the brook has burst its banks, but then it always does. You know, if it rains for 2 minutes, it does. The brook is about a quarter of a mile away. Luckily, as I said, we are slightly uphill. I mean, nothing that you'd even notice as a hill, but enough that we're pretty confident we're going to be okay. But I'm touching wood as I say that. There you go. Not even a flake for poor Simon. Do you ever have snow, or are you like the last place on the planet to get snow? Because we don't normally get snow like this. Yeah, you might get a bit of a flurry one day. But this has been quite a few days since Christmas and quite deep as well. So that's quite unusual for us. Oh, Sarah really wants snow. First time you don't have to worry about driving into work and sitting warm at home. That's the thing, you can enjoy it. See, I've always been able to enjoy it. Worked from home since 2001 and did a lot of work from home before that, to be honest. The only time I went out before that, I did have a full-time job that would have been 1994, I think. The autumn of 1994. Or was it 1993? 1993 to 1994, anyway. I hated that. But once I left there, I started working from home, but I did go out and train people face to face. So I could be out 2 or 3 days a week. But from 2002, it's been working from home all the time. So I enjoy bad weather because I'm not out in it. I can just sit and look out the window and it's fantastic. Oh, Jonathan admits he's not shocked by the number of parties the police are stopping. The world's doomed with the level of selfishness that sadly has in it. Totally agree. People can't seem. They have no self-control at all. I mean, I was saying to Mike about, obviously, the Munich thing's coming up. And normally we have a minute's silence. And obviously this year, you're not going to be able to get anywhere near the ground. So we need to deal with that. But there was Jerry Marsden died and there was a match and there was a minute's applause. And the minute's applause came in because people can't be quiet for 1 minute. So if everybody's clapping, you know, and some people are trying to disrupt the minute's silence, they don't have to worry because the clapping will take over. But you think there are people who cannot restrain themselves for 60 seconds. There are no words for people like this. So I think we could be doomed, Jonathan. I think you're right. So Simon says, still, at least they weren't trying to overthrow the government and install a leader who lost in a democratic election. Well, yes. Do you know, that means we've still got 4 and a bit years of Boris. Because he had that election in December, if you remember. I think it snowed that day as well. I've got a picture of the dog. You know the dogs at polling station thing? Oh, she had a face on her. It's like, why have you dragged me out here? It's cold. And can I go inside? The laugh of it was when the ladies inside who were manning the polling booth saw the dog. They wanted her to go inside as well. Say hello to them. Do you know, she does get invited inside. Maya used to as well. We went to up the Fylde coast. And there was this shop and I needed to go in to get a pair of boots. Now, this was unusual, me going in a shoe shop. Believe you me. It's like a once every 15 years manoeuvre. It's like I go in, they're fine. Can I have 20 pairs? Thank you. Honestly, that's what I do. I've done that about 5 times now. I love it. We went up to a factory. I think it was the Clark's or Kay's factory. And I tried these shoes on. I said, these look nice, don't they, Mum? Mum said, oh, yes, I like those. So I went to the lady and she said, oh, you know, like, I'll box it up. So I said, yeah, if you would, can I have 12 pairs? And she looked at me as though you opening a shop. And I said, no, just don't intend to come back for about 12 years. Thank you. So that's how I do it with shoes. But this particular shop, went in looking at these boots. And the two women at the till are like craning their necks to look outside. And she said, is that your dog? You know, and May was like, I'm not sitting outside a shoe shop here. This isn't on. He always needed to be doing something. So I said, oh, yeah, that's Maya. So she said, oh, bring him in. I thought, bring him in to a shoe shop. Are you insane? But they insisted we brought him in. So we brought him in and he was very well behaved. When he used to go for a walk round here locally, there's a nail bar. Mike and Nina go to this nail bar all the time. I think Rach does as well. And not somewhere I'd frequent a nail bar, not given the other things they do there. I think that was the first time I heard of Backsack and Crack, but moving swiftly along. So you, when you're sat there doing having your nails done, you can hear people screaming upstairs, apparently. Sounds like a house of horrors to me. Anyway, Maya was meandering past with his father on the way back from his trot. And the ladies flung open the door and said, bring him in. So we got to go in. Now, one of the treatments that they do there is this kind of you put your feet in some water malarkey and then fish nibble at you. Yeah, I wonder about the logic of that. But apparently they do, whatever that's called. I could just call it insanity. Maya thought, oh, that's nice. A bowl of water with some nibbles in it. He was managed to be dissuaded from partaking of that, luckily just in time. But yes, he does get to go in the shops a lot. So I'm sure Lola would love to do that. So Sarah's saying that Jonathan was saying they're attacking the police and one officer's now in hospital with COVID, although I can't prove it was a result. Do you know, I think if they did the right tests, they may well be able to. Isn't there something about the DNA of how it transmits and you can follow a trail? That would be amazing. That would be a wonderful legal case to take. Kim thinks it's good we have a studio on the second floor. Oh, absolutely. All of the equipment's upstairs. The only equipment that would be affected downstairs with anything electrical would be that TV that's never turned on. The Apple TV is downstairs plugged into it. But, you know, at least that's on a shelf that's about 3 foot high. The microwaves and the fridges and the freezers outside. But I think you just have to say, if it happens, it happens. There's nothing that you can do. The one thing I am glad of every time the weather gets bad is when we had the extension built, I'm sure you'll remember because I'm bound to have mentioned it, the sad sorry saga of the eco drain. Don't ask. Actually, I think it's an eco drain. It's a company. I think it's called Eco. But the idea is it's eco-friendly, this thing. And you put this drain in and it drains away. It goes around the extension and it's embedded in like shale. And it slopes down ever so slightly, so you get it round the corner, and then it goes in the grid. Well, that was what we'd agreed when the build started. But once the build progressed, apparently that wasn't an option. Something about the slope on the whatever. Their best advice was to get a water butt. And I said, where are we putting this water butt? So basically, you would have the extension, and it would have guttering all the way around it, but it would drain away to this water butt, which is basically a largish barrel. And I said, and what happens to it then? And he said, well, then you have to empty it. And I'm thinking, yeah, but when it rains here, it's biblical. So it would be full more than it was empty. You can use the water for washing your car and stuff was the plan. I thought, well, where am I going to store it? Anyway, it was then, well, can we get a water butt that's out of sight? Because I don't want a water butt right in front of the extension. So we found the narrowest water butt that you could buy because the gap is literally about 10 inches and it narrows towards the back. So there was one water butt. It held all of about 3 pints. So I said to Mike, I'm not having a water butt. It's not happening. So then became, how could we design the guttering so it could drain away the way it was supposed to? Anyway, it went down to the wire. I think it was literally the last few days and no decision had still been made about this drainage system because I wanted it one way and the project manager was saying it couldn't be done. However, when it came to debating it yet again, the second to last time, it was like, and I'm telling you it can't be done. And I'm saying, well, you're going to have to make it be done because that's what's happening. Anyway, the very last time, the guy with the downpipe in his hand and the guttering in his hand and a saw in the other hand, I explained yet again what I wanted. And he said, yeah, we can do that. It's not a problem. And the project manager was like, oh, I thought, yeah, if the right knew what the left was doing, hey. So we did get it that it was all hooked up. And given the rain last night, if we'd have had a water butt, it could well have flooded the garden last night. It was that bad. Because, of course, all the rain off the roof comes down onto the extension roof and then there's all the rain off there. And then it would have gone into this little three pint water butt thing. So luckily, it all went down the drain. Oh, but that was touch and go as to whether that could actually be done.
Yes, it's raining again.
Yes, I thought so. So there was method in our madness, Kim, with that. We actually did consider a while back and not long ago switching the bedroom to be downstairs and having more of the upstairs with equipment and stuff in it. Because we never use a dining room anyway, do we? Because we've got the extension. So there's a dining table in the extension.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Going to the toilet.
Oh, you stood there looking at the dog.
She didn't know whether to come in or not.
Come on in, Lola. Come and say hello. That doesn't mean there's a treat. It's not automatic, girl.
Come on,
this way.
She's not had a dentist stick.
No, but she'll have that when you've finished. She'll stand out there and she'll watch where you go and then she'll herd you back in here like a little reindeer herder. So leave her be. She's happy herding. Dear me. So, yeah, that would actually give us more room up here. I don't know whether it's actually going to come to that, to be honest. Because if this is permanent, we might well do that. We're also thinking ahead, because when Mayer got probably about the last 18 months of his life, he didn't want to do the stairs. And at some point, I know she's only 5 at the minute, but at some point Lola's not going to want to do the stairs either, and we would want to then be there with her. So we might do that. We have done that before. The dining room has been the bedroom before, and then the upstairs has been something else. So we have done that before. But when we redid last time, we decided we put the bedroom back where it was. I can see that switching around, though. We'll keep you up to date on that. Simon sees the Black Lives Matter riots as more akin to women's suffrage. I watched a fascinating video on that during the... It was an anniversary. I think it was 2019. And Stuart and Ellen, when they were president and lady president of the Catanians, that was their theme for Ladies' Night. So he did a whole speech on it. I think there was about 12 ladies that he'd picked, and he gave you like a history of them. Each table was named after one of the ladies. So I watched this documentary thing, so much that I didn't know. I didn't realise they were blowing places up and putting bombs in. I had no idea. I thought of it as more of a kind of passive thing, but absolutely not. You're not here for the politics. You're here for tech tips. we could. Do you think we could do with an app that accurately predicts the weather? Because last night was so funny. We'd actually gone through the weather on the show because it was siling it down, but it was hammering on the windows. Well, the A lady next to me on my Echo show was busy saying, "It might rain. There's a 20% chance of rain." Well, we're just in fits, Mike and I, laughing at it. The one thing it did say was there might be snow on Sunday. So I thought, fair enough. Literally 20 minutes later, we looked out the window. It was absolutely a whiteout. I glanced round at the A lady and she's saying there's a 20% chance of rain. And the next minute it was updated and it said it's snowing. And I thought, well, when it's faster to look out the window than look at you, you've got a problem because you're supposed to be predicting this weather, not giving us a retrospective in hindsight. Unbelievable. We definitely need something better to predict weather. And better to handle weather as well on the motorways, because the motorways are a death trap today. They've been shut most of the day here, yet again. The M60 is a motorway that goes all the way around Manchester. So it's the Manchester Ring Road. It was fashioned from the M63 and the M62, as was. It was only finished about 20 years ago. So it's a little bit like the M25 going around London. But if there is ever an accident, I swear to God it's on our side of it. It's near the Trafford Centre, which completely cuts the thing off. And if you then have to go off there, this happened when we went to a party. And luckily we had a sat-nav sat in the back and it said the motorway is closed. So we had to come off. We were all over the place. Honestly, trying to, no, it says go left, go right. It must have taken us at least 50 minutes longer. So if this particular section of the motorway, if there's an accident either side of it, it's a nightmare because it there's Barton Bridge there and it crosses over. I think it ends up as the Manchester Ship Canal, but it's the canal from Liverpool to Manchester. Well, obviously, you've got to go over a bridge to get past it. And if the main bridge is shut, there's another bridge that opened not long ago. We won't say that's not popular, but part of it did collapse. So that bit's not popular. There's another one which is that old and that rickety. It looks like an amusement park ride. You have to pay. I think it used to be 7.5p to cross it. We haven't had a half penny in the UK for years. I think now it's about 12p. So you've got to stop and then fiddle with money and then go across it. But, you know, if something's coming the other way, you're a bit wary because this bridge looks like it could go from under you at any moment. Other than that, you'd have to go into the centre of Manchester to do it. That's why it takes 50 minutes. So we could definitely do with some tech organising that. That would be good, Simon. If you could get onto that, that would be amazing. But other than that, no, it's not good.
Alexa, turn the bathroom light off.
Kim and Simon on politics. That'd be a great show. I'd watch that, you know. Kendall K Shoes. That's probably the one. I think it was in Kendall. And there was a lovely, it was more like a little outlet village, although it was only, I think, the shoe place. And I think they had like bags of some description, but yeah, bags, not interested. If you can't put a laptop in it, I'm not bothered. So I didn't do that. But they did have this beautiful like coffee area, like a restaurant, really. Mum was in there and loved it. She did like a coffee when she was out, didn't she? But out of the window, there was a lovely stream ran past. It's so picturesque. It didn't look like a shopping mall. That's probably how Mum managed to get me in there. Let's go to this place. It's really pretty. Oh, look, a shoe shop. Because that was how Mum had to do it. I'm like a horse that needs to be blindfolded to get in the stalls, aren't I? Don't take Elaine to a shoe shop. It never ends well. Oh, I hate shoe shops. I really, really loathe shoe shops. Possibly more than I loathe clothes shops. The last time, I don't know how this actually happened, but Mum said, you need a winter coat. And I said, why do I need a winter coat? I'm not going anywhere. Just in case you do. I thought, oh, God. So she said, we'll do the Trafford Centre. I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to break out into hives here. So we get to the Trafford Centre and there was this shop. Was she there that day? I think she was. And I think you were outside. So she manages to manoeuvre me into this shop. Only because I couldn't get out of it. We gets in there. I wanders over to the coats. I get a quick glance, picks up one, tries it on. I said, I'll take that one. And we were in and out in 6 minutes. It wasn't a record, but not far off. These women that go in and they spend 6 hours looking and then go back to the first shop. Yeah, that's not me. No. It's like, well, I don't. She says, well, do you not want to try any others on? And I said, well, I don't like the purple one. I said, that one's too short. I said, so it's that one or nothing. So shall we take it? Oh, yeah, we'll take that one. Quick, before she changes her mind, she said. But I don't do the assistance thing either. No, she has to go and pay for it. I give her the money, but she had to go and pay for it back in the day. I couldn't do him with the inane comments. Oh, would you like some special stockings to go with that? And we've got some shoes. So I have to vacate at that point. So I'm outside with Mike and he's laughing away. Did you actually manage to buy something? I said, Mum's purchasing now. Oh, I'm not good shopping, me. I'm not, you know.
No.
Night-night, Jonathan. Comes around quicker each week. Do you know, I'm thinking that when we look at the number of the show, there was a time where I'd kind of lost where we were up to. And then, of course, we were coming up to 300. And I couldn't believe tonight we are 12 days past 300 already. It was like last night when we were talking about the Whaley Bridge dam collapse, and it was 2 years ago. And Jonathan's like, no, that was last year. And I said, well, I would agree with you, Jonathan, but we weren't in lockdown when that happened. So I've got a sneaking suspicion it was 2019. It's crazy. Time is just shooting by. The COVID DNA thing is going to be fantastic, isn't it, to see how it travelled. But unfortunately, that's going to be in hindsight, and it's not going to help people right now. Like that, I forget her name, but she was a London transport operative, and she had some kind of underlying condition, and it was agreed that when she went into work, she would work in the back office. They then sent her out onto the platforms.
That's the one Anthony's mentioned, yeah. I think.
Is that the one? Let me have a look.
Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah, I'm behind in the chat, Anthony, but that's the one. And she got spat on, and she then ended up with COVID, and she died. They must have taken bloods, etc., if they could track that, because they did have somebody in custody for it. But there was like, oh, well, the causation and all of that.
My toys are here.
Oh, have they arrived?
Yes.
Are you going to try them?
No.
Have mine arrived?
I've no idea.
Oh, I was supposed to be having an Amazon delivery
today. I don't get your emails.
Let me have a look. Do I get my emails? Yes, they've delivered it 2 minutes ago. Bring them all in. Stick them in the COVID cave.
Don't try it. They're
That's true. They're decoviding for a while. Stick them in the COVID cave. It'll be fine. We'll dig them out at some point. Oh, Kim, how many days until the iPad's released from its captivity?
I'll lock up then, shall I?
Yep, not expecting anything else, Mike. Not that I know of. Not that I ordered, anyway. It'll be great in hindsight, and these virologists and epidemiologists will have many years analysing the data, but that doesn't actually help us right now, does it? I totally agree with you, Anthony. They should have kept that guy. They should have tried it anyway. Barney would have followed him into the toilet and watched. No, Lola doesn't do that. No, she sits on the landing herding. Samoyeds were used to herd reindeer in the day. And Maya and Lola both have this thing of they like their pack, Mike and I, to be where they know we are. So if one of us leaves the office or during the day, Mike leaves the studio, which is where he's working at the minute, Lola's there, head up, watching. And then if he disappears into the toilet, as soon as she hears it flush, she'll stand up and then he'll come out and then he'll have to dance around her because she needs to be behind him. So in her mind, she's pushing him back into the studio. And she does the same thing when we're both in the office. She's too cute. And then she falls asleep outside. Once she's happy that she knows where her people are, you'll find her flat out on her back, legs in the air. You should see the state of her. She is just too cute. So Simon, listening to an interesting BBD podcast, spoke to the guys who decided on the one vaccine dose policy and why they believe it's correct. I'm hearing more now from people who are concerned about the 3 month wait. And I think what kicked that off was Pfizer deciding to redecorate and the stats coming out that it's only 30% effective. But then, to be honest, I've pretty clearly got the message, and you know, I haven't had the letter yet or anything, or had the first dose, but I pretty clearly got the message. There's no benefit to you for 10 days, and after that, it's somewhere between 30 and 89, in which case, you know, there's still a 1 in 10 chance, best case scenario. Given how many people have still got COVID out there, even if I'd had two doses, I think I'd still be careful. But other people seem to be of the mind of like, it's a freedom jab and they're off. That's not what I've taken from it, but other people seem to have done. Oh, a BBC podcast. Right, I'm with you. I was wondering about BBD. A slow rollout because of software issues. Is the software doling it out or something? Mind you, ours has dropped like a stone, you know. We've gone from over, I think it was 500,000 a day, to like 100,000. So I don't know what's... Well, the weather will have had an impact, probably. Apparently, one of the storage locations is in a flooding area. Who thought that was a good idea? No idea. Loving you two, Simon and Kim on politics. He'd have to hold his tongue as much as I do, so sparks would be flying. Oh dear. Oh, Saturday's the day of release for the iPad. Fantastic. Are you excited? Have you got it? Have you got it all mentally set up in your mind as you rip it open? What colour did you go for? We need to know these things. There's so many rumours at the moment coming out about AppleKit. I'm looking at them and thinking, there's another reason I don't like January. Because they're just recycling old rumours. I mean, what do we think to AirTags? That must have been a rumour now for at least 4 years. There's the car. Let's be honest, that's not coming this year, no matter what you say. Who's going to buy it? Where are we going to go? Oh, I know. I'll spend about 50,000 on a car and sit in the garden with it and polish it all day. Oh, hang on. That's what my dad did. Yes, that's what I mean. Insanity. What other things have I heard? A new iPad Pro in March. Well, yeah. My iPad will be 3 years old in November. So that means that the last iPad was last March, the iPad Pro, and the one before that was November 2018. So March, it's not exactly a stretch, is it, to think there might be an iPad? Because the one that came out last year, it came out, people may have bought it, but there really wasn't much difference between that and the one that was 18 months old. Jonathan and I both decided, we were both originally like, oh, let me at it. And then when we saw the spec, it was like, I think I'll keep the money in the bank. So we did. So we would definitely be interested in a new one. But, you know, you're going to have to add something to it to make the upgrade worthwhile, particularly at the moment. The last one had the LiDAR camera added, which I didn't think much of, to be honest. The phone, again, I'd already said to Mike about 6 months ago. Well, actually, just before the COVID thing struck, I'm going to have a new phone this year. I know I had a new one last year, but I'm having a new one this year. And then it came out and it's like, it really isn't worth getting another phone with a better camera, because that was what I did the year before. It actually arrived, if you remember, the day that we had a big dinner do on. It was the Munich dinner event, fundraiser it was. And it arrived on the death, literally on the death. He'd gone for petrol, if you remember. And we didn't have time to set it up, but we wanted to take it with us because it had a better camera than the one we'd got, because we hadn't had a phone for about 4 years. So it was going to definitely be a better camera. But I guess the difference between what we had and what this year's last year's camera was wouldn't be that much. So we decided to leave that as well. They're talking about a redesigned iMac. Yes, again, because that was a given for the first half of last year. That was a total given until the one that's on my desk now came out. It looks exactly the same as everything that's been on my desk since 2011. So that was a big nothing. Is it in the house or is the COVID cave an actual cave? Garage. Ours is kind of by the porch. The 30% is totally incorrect. That's a total misreading of the stats. It seemed to be too far removed from what they'd said before. But then who's putting this out? You know, somebody at some point must have said 30% and then somebody's reported it. And I only look at the BBC and Sky, and it wasn't Sky. So that would be the BBC. So I don't know. Don't Google BVD. Don't know what you'll say. No. Where you must never go is Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary is just scary. The first time I was looking up the meaning of something, I ended up, yes, one of the words was in there. It was to do with a potato, but I can't possibly say anymore. It was vile. I was probably looking for a recipe and it took me there. And I read this thing and I read it as like, oh, this is a genuine source that will give you correct information, and obviously being Urban Dictionary, not generally, no, it's more things that people call things that you wouldn't exactly find in the Oxford English. Let's put it like that. So at all costs, the Urban Dictionary must be avoided. Oh, it's silver or grey. You've got a pencil already and the case is ready to go. Hello, Tracy. That's fantastic, Kim. Oh, so close. So close. There's another 3 weeks that have flown by. It's very scary. So Kim says she fully believes the studies that she's read where you need the second dose to rev up the immune system, do its optimum. Protocols should be followed for the best results, or they would have suggested one dose with a booster. That's what got me. If you do the testing, and you do the testing based on, well, this is what we think, and, you know, they've even done it down to that the second one is only half the dose of the first one because that's more effective. You can't unilaterally change that and expect educated people to just go along with it. You know, people who don't care one way or the other might want choose to go along with it. But I would want to see the stats, because when it was initially announced, particularly the Pfizer one, it was 21 days to the minute. And I know when Joe was the first person I heard of to have one, and he works at a care home, so that's not surprising. And he's had a quadruple bypass. So he went in for his, and this was before Tony Blair decided, Dr. Blair, decided that, you know, 3 months was a good idea. And they said to him, you must return, even, you know, whatever, you must return on the 21st day, and, you know, we must give it to you in the afternoon. So how can you go from that being normal and strict to, no, it's all right, 3 months is fine. Oh, we've not got any of that vaccine. Don't worry, we'll give you another one. You can't do that. And that's exactly what they've done. So the longer I can put it off, the better as far as I'm concerned. Plus the fact they're now saying you might need, they don't know how long it's going to last. So you might need to go through the whole process again. And that could be as little as 6 months. We're not going to have everybody vaccinated in 6 months, much less be taking on the second thing in 6 months. So hopefully it'll last for at least 12, because otherwise they're going to meet themselves coming back. But there you go. That'd be interesting, Simon. You stick the link in there. More what teenage boys call things. Anthony, that is a perfect description of Urban Dictionary. But Urban Dictionary is scary. It's very, very scary. Or it was for the thing I looked at, which I can't unsee. In my mind's eye, I can't unsee it. So let's just say I don't eat baked potatoes anymore. Let's put it like that. 30% includes the 2 weeks where the immunity builds, and it doesn't build in a linear way. So at the end of 4 weeks, you've got 90%, but 3 weeks, you're at 35%. Ah, right. So they're saying Pfizer are incorrect. Well, given that Pfizer make the thing, mind you, Pfizer, what do we think of their collective corporate intelligence? Oh, let's change the wallpaper. We're in the middle of creating these vaccines. Don't worry about it. 2 months won't matter. Yeah, that was there. I don't know what department that was. But there you go. 90% is pretty good. But I still say, if you said to somebody, you know, here's a loaded gun, 10 chambers, one's got a bullet in, do you want to pull the trigger? Most people would say no. I think at the moment they're that desperate to leave the house that 90% sounds grand. In fact, 30%, they'd probably risk it. I mean, listen to the traffic. Where are these people going? There's nowhere open and you can't visit family and friends. I thought Priti Patel was actually going to do something decent today instead of this £800 fine for a party. Because, you know, a lot of people, if you invite enough people to the party and charge them a tenner, you could afford the fine and then you have the party. So if you're going to make it, how about you'll be shot if you have a party? That might get through to people.
Is her name Pritter or Priti?
Priti.
Oh, it's Priti,
it's an
it?
I. Yeah. It's a bit of a dodgy name, that, isn't it?
It is.
You've got a child, let's call it Priti.
Yeah.
It's probably...
Good job she's not... Her surname's not a woman, isn't it?
Could be if she got married. Or it could be worse, something man. Like a surname with man in it.
Like Manfred Mann.
No. Like Greenman or Houseman.
Oh.
Pretty Houseman. Most unfortunate. No, it's an I, Mike.
Or rubbish. Pretty rubbish.
Yeah, true. Could be anything. Like that couple that got married, weren't they, Mr. and Mrs. Christmas?
Yeah.
That was cute. I like that.
Lola's pretty.
She is pretty, but yeah. I wouldn't call her pretty. She's Lola. Well, she's got lots of names, you know that. So in the US, they're talking about evidence-based medicine. Totally goes against the evidence from those who've studied it. At the moment, though, people are just so desperate. They'd take anything. They'd take anything. I swear they would. I can't understand. I can understand people having problems with jobs, maybe losing jobs, worrying how they're going to pay for things and stuff like that. But just on a general level, if you leave work out of the equation, the desperation to go out and buy a handbag, I can't fathom. Now, you might say, well, if you needed a computer, you'd be desperate. But I'd probably mail order it anyway, and they can mail order their handbags. This is not like... Can you imagine this had happened in the 70s? Where you literally couldn't get anything delivered to your house. Mm. Enjoy your meeting, dear.
Thanks.
You're going without the tie?
Yeah.
Oh, and standards are slipping.
And the jogging pants.
Well, don't stand up when they say, let's stand up for the prayer. That's not a good look. I've been there with that, and I don't wish to go back. So many of them have got laptops, and they stand up.
And the poo bags in the pocket.
Oh, you might need the poo bags because there'll be a load of them talking the proverbial. Keep the poo bags. Oh, dear. Right. So Simon's saying the fact they've done the trial, modelled it, they really believe the current policy saves lives. What isn't Tony Blair making up? Oh, at least he's not Prime Minister anymore. It could be worse. There was just something about that guy. He was summed up with the Good Friday Agreement, and he stood there and he said with a straight face, this is not the day for sound bites. And then the next words out of his mouth were, I feel the hand of history on my shoulder. And I just rolled on the floor laughing, and I thought that summed him up. Not what he says, what he does. Oh, honestly. Loathe that bloke. He was always smiling. It didn't matter whether he was announcing, 100 deaths. He was always smiling. Steve McLaren, who used to be the assistant manager at Manchester United, exactly the same. No matter what was said when they were interviewing him, he had a smile on his face. And this particular season, Alex Ferguson would not be interviewed. Now, you need to understand, it is a responsibility of the club as part of your Premiership deal. You have to provide two players who played in the match for interview and the manager. It's part of the deal. And the BBC did an expose on Alex Ferguson. It did involve him, but particularly his son. Now, he had two sons. They were twins. One of them played for United, and the other one set up a business in memorabilia, United memorabilia. So, of course, he was in a prime position to know the players and get the players to sign shirts and stuff. So the BBC did an expose on this, because at the same time as his son, the non-player, was running this business, they were clamping down on eBay and other companies making money from their memorabilia. Well, that's a bit double standards-ish to me. So they did this expose on his son, Jason, and he went off on one. And he refused to have anything to do with them. Because of that, United would have been in breach of contract. So they offered the assistant manager, which at the time was Steve McLaren, to do these interviews. And the only problem with that was the particular one in question, I was incensed. I mean, to me, if you are making money out of the club like that, you just have to take it on the chin. You can't take your ball back because you don't like the fact that, the BBC have pointed it out. Because the rest of the fans, we've been pointing it out for years. But he didn't. He went in and he wouldn't go out and be interviewed at all. So they sent Steve McLaren. Thing was, it was after a match at Anfield when we were playing Liverpool and we'd lost. So interview was there. Right, so Steve McLaren's with us, Manchester United's assistant manager, and he was smiling. And I mean, he looked like Coco the Clown. He was smiling that much. We just lost a match. There were fans. I mean, if you lose a match and it happens to be like, Barnsley, whatever. But Liverpool, you are going to get crucified by the Liverpool fans. We won. And he was smiling. It absolutely kicked off with the fans. And the way he was smiling in that one, he didn't last long after that. I think he then got sacked after about 3 months. At which point they had to find somebody to stand in as assistant manager who was prepared to pretend to be the manager for the sake of the press, who were going absolutely stark, staring, stir crazy that Alex Ferguson wouldn't do any interviews. But Tony Blair reminds me of the ever broad grin, no matter what. He looks like the Joker of the Batman films. Don't the participants get fined, or is it just the organiser? I believe it's the organiser, Anthony. But I think everybody should. Now, whether they will face the standard £200, you shouldn't have done that fine, I don't know. But it says partygoers. So maybe it's more than that. Has anybody actually read all the details of this? Hang on, I've got it here. There will be a new £800 fine for people attending parties of more than 15 people. I thought you were only meant to meet up with your bubble. There are no words. There are really no words. So if you want a house party with 14 people, then that's fine. But 15, no. Do I really live in this country? I do wonder. So yes, Anthony, it's everybody. It's going to be some fantastic police balls at the end of this, isn't there? With all these funds being raised. Would that Urban Dictionary thing be akin to the fact that potato in Spanish is patata? And this is a mild euphemism for female genitalia. No, it was far worse than that, Tracy, unbelievably. Far worse than that. If it had been that, I could have coped. But I'm, you know, one of those things where you're reading it and you're thinking, I'm going to honk up into a bucket. It was that. It was very bad. Very, very bad. You need a computer for work, though. No one needs a handbag for work. Well, at the moment, you're quite right, Anthony. You don't need a handbag or shoes. In fact, clothes could be optional, couldn't they? That's very true. I do. That's why everything's on the top floor. Item two, halfway down, to have COVID, safe COVID sex during an orgy. Are people really doing this right now? I can't think of anything I'd rather do less at any point, to be honest, but particularly now. I mean, it spreads mainly from person to person. Right, so point two, is it? Right. You are your safest sex partner. The next safest sex partner is someone you live with. It's a low risk. What I want to know is, how can you actually have sex with someone outside of your household when you're not supposed to meet up? I mean, are we using the letterbox as a kind of way to interact? Because you're not supposed to meet up. Have as few partners as possible, which doesn't fit with an orgy, does it? Yeah, but that this is the point as far as I'm concerned. At the moment, particularly if you're not living with somebody, but even if you are, you know, is this the number one priority on people's minds? Or could you just not wait a bit? You know, could you just not wait? Skip sex if you're not feeling well. Well, duh! Isn't that a given? Oh, I'm not feeling terribly well. Well, you'll have to. Honest to God. Wear a face mask. Do you know, before COVID, that was considered a kink. Now it's considered essential. Oh, Kim, I'm loving this. Where on earth did you pick this one up from? Pennsylvania. Oh, good to know that the people working in government in Pennsylvania have got nothing else better to do. People could legitimately complain, though, couldn't they? If they're wearing a mask, they can't breathe. Oh, Kim, that's going to be a classic. One day we'll look back at this and laugh. As they drag us off. Green light to have small party. Exactly. The thing is, this is what I don't get with our government. And they keep saying people have common sense. No, Boris, they don't. Hate to break this to you, babe, but they don't. So when you say, you know, there's going to be an £800 fine for a party with over 15. There are literally thousands of people in the country that think, yay, get the tinnies in. We'll invite 14 people round. It's a bit like that. Laura Kunzberg is always accused of this. Somebody will say something Laura Kunzberg is a BBC journalist, allegedly. And she has a very unfortunate way of rewording what people have said. So in this circumstance, using this as an example, she would say, isn't it about time you clamp down on people having parties, Prime Minister? So the Prime Minister would come out and say, we're now going to instigate fines of £800 for anybody attending a party of over 15 people. She will then, instead of asking another question, come back and reword that and say. So what you're saying is, Prime Minister, that it's quite safe for people to have parties of up to 14 people then. At which point Boris is all bumbly because that wasn't what he said, but he doesn't want to actually say that that wasn't what he said. This happens constantly. I can't watch the woman. She does my head in. She was actually in charge of a lot of the Brexit coverage. So you can imagine, I was all lured out way before the COVID thing. Then when the COVID thing happened, it was as though Brexit didn't exist. And then she was rewording everybody's words on the COVID thing. Then the Brexit thing came up again in December and she was sent back to that. But, oh, that's exactly what happens. They reword it. And instead of coming out and saying, no, that is not what I said, the politicians don't. They don't. And what people who want to hear, it's OK for me to have a party, want to hear is you can have up to 14. And that's it. They run with it then. I guarantee you this weekend we will hear hundreds of reports of people having parties of up to 14 people. It's ridiculous. I wish people had just basically the intelligence they were born with. That would be enough. I reposted something on Facebook and it's so accurate when you see people interviewed on the TV and they've got the masks on and they're underneath the nose. And it said, come on, folks, it's been almost a year with the mask wearing. It takes less time to potty train someone. You know, that they're still under the nose, and they are. I mean, they're just not fitted right or whatever. I mean, we got a mask just in case we needed to go out. So we've got some standard, like, medical masks, the green things. But we decided, you know, you do look a bit like you're a doctor looking for a hospital in one of those. So we get a black one that covered it. So I'm looking at these masks. And I said to Mike, I'm getting one of these and one of these. And one of them was a mask, but it actually went all the way down. So you could tuck it into your shirt. So it started off under the eyes and it went right down so you could tuck it into your shirt. And I said, that covers a whole lot of, you know, as long as it's over the nose, we're fine with that. And the other one, it had a name, but I don't know what that name was now. But it's a known thing. I've not had one before, like a scarf with some kind of tassels on it. But you can kind of wrap it around. So I'm going to look like a bandit, should I ever actually leave the house? And then the other thing I thought of was that very, very early on in this, they said that, yes, the mouth and the nose need to be covered, but you have to think about the eyes as well. So I thought, well, I've got the goggles, I do the gardening, but if I go out in that, I will get arrested. So I thought, what I need is something that covers from my eyebrows upwards so I can put my glasses on, even if they're like a zero glasses, just so my eyes are covered. So should I ever decide to venture out of the house ever again, which isn't looking likely at the moment, I'll be covered from definitely head to neck. So we got these black masks like that. But you see people out, they're not wearing masks anymore. And they've actually said, haven't they, that this lockdown's not working. And I think I can understand that because they're not doing it on the day-to-day basis. They're telling you how many people have died. Yesterday was a record, 1,610. Today is about 1,200, but they're not actually presenting it. It now just sounds like numbers. They're not presenting it in any kind of way that makes staying at home seem the right thing to do. They're just kind of, and this many died and that's it. And people are not staying at home. They can't go out to places that are closed, but they are going out to like beauty spots, which I really feel for the people who are living there. And not bothering to wear masks anymore because, you know, that's so 2020, darling. But that could be just my experience. You let me know. People I see walking past the house don't have masks with them. They're on the same side of the road. Mike just avoids people. In fact, if it's early enough, he does the morning walk. If it's early enough, he'll just walk up the middle of the road. And that way the joggers and everything are going past. You're going to need a picky of the tuckinable black mask. I'll dig it out. It's in my drawer. I will dig it out. I've got it there just in case I need to go out. Oh dear, oh dear. I have tried it on. It looks fine. You know, as long as you don't want to be accosted by Zorro. I think if I put the scarf on with it, you know, I'm going to look like a cross between Zorro and a nun. But there again, I don't want to get no COVID. I'm quite happy in the house where nobody comes into the house. Nobody goes out of the house. It works. They need to show the videos of those suffering to breathe if the family consents. Do you know, Kim, there was one on the other day. It was heartbreaking. They were filming at a hospital, which I do wonder the logic of to start with. But what they did early on was the BBC donated PPE. And the price of that was, you've got to let us film. Anyway, they were doing this filming and there was a guy there with like a little carrier bag. And he had like a letter in his hand. He was kind of an elderly guy, but not that old. Mid-60s, maybe. Not that old. And point being, he wasn't 30. And he just looked lost. Totally lost. And they said that this is so-and-so, and he wanted to speak to us. But he's just had bad news. And literally, within 20 minutes previous to him talking to them, he'd lost his wife. His children couldn't be there. They'd sent a letter for him to read to her, but she was too far gone. And she had literally just died, and he was saying the same, that this is not a joke. You know, this can affect anyone, da-da-da-da-da. Another one was a guy, and he was actually in bed, and he was saying, this is a terrible disease. And I thought, looking at him, he was still having trouble breathing, but I thought he was, like, through the bit of being on a ventilator, and that he was still suffering with the breathlessness problem. So he was talking and saying, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. But literally between every word, he had to stop for breath. Then as that faded out, a text message came on the screen and said, and he was, you know, 2 hours later, he was taken into an intensive care and he's now on a ventilator. So he wasn't on his way out of this, he was actually on his way into it. So we never heard what happened to him. But all the people that they do interview like that do say it's absolutely shocking. I mean, I remember one, this has never seen the light of day, and if you'd seen it, you'd understand why. But my father wanted to go into a hospice. He had cancer, it was terminal, he knew it was. With 2 weeks to go, he wanted to go into a hospice. And it was like, there's no room at the inn. In fact, it was, oh, the paperwork got missed. So for the last 2 weeks of his life, it was basically me arguing the toss with them about what he wanted. He was ill enough for a hospice. But if it could go wrong, it did go wrong. The doctor referred him and then they lost the paperwork. And then the next day something else happened. And this went on for 12 days. So on the morning of the day he actually died, I'd been up with him all night. Mum was that tired she couldn't see straight. We were trying to keep Mike out of it so he could keep going to work. And the poor dog, who'd had really bad arthritis, was just having to, and, you know, you were having to pick him up and move him, and he weighed 8.5 stone. So you can imagine, every day just brought more joy. But this particular day, I said, surely they've got to see how bad he is, because they just wouldn't take him into hospital. Mum was supposed to look after him, but like I've said, she was 5'1". And he was like nearly 6 foot and weighed twice what she did. It was ridiculous to expect her to move him. I mean, it took Mike and I all our time, and we were used to carrying the dog. So this particular morning, his breathing was appalling. And I said that they must just not understand. And I took a video and I said, I'm going to keep this video, because if they refuse today, I said, then I'm going to tell them, I'll put this video on Twitter. I said, because he needs treatment and they will not give him treatment. And I had this video. I never watched it after that because I said to Mike, it's bad. It's not good. Mike saw it and he was shocked because when he left for work, he wasn't that bad. So that was the only time we watched it. Watched it again probably about a year later and just burst out crying. It's so horrific. So if the breathing is anything like my poor father's was, I can understand that they just can't breathe, that they can't get breath. At least they're in somewhere, well, hopefully they are, in somewhere where they can get some kind of help. But I agree, Kim. I think I can appreciate it from my own experience. If you have no experience or you are too stupid to appreciate it, by hearing other people say it, then they really do need to show it. And some families have done that with drug victims. There was a young girl a few years ago. She died from some, actually she only took like one pill, but it was infected with something at one of these festivals. And when they got her from this festival, she was still breathing, but only just, and she didn't make it. But while she was on ventilators and all sorts, the family said, please take some photographs and release it to warn others not to take anything, not even just one pill, because there are bad drugs out there and that's what's happened. And they did, you know, and the drug use went down for a bit, but then people forget and then they're off again. I think it would actually be helpful. What they are doing here is showing you how tired the NHS staff are. But to be perfectly honest with you, people don't care. If they want a party, they want a party. I can't understand it, but it's clearly a thing that let's say there's more people like them than like me. Let's just say that, because I've been in two minds about a party 3 years from now, just because you think, how stupid are people? You know, if they're stupid enough to have a party, what were they doing yesterday? What were they doing last week? What other risky thing were they doing that makes having a party even more ludicrous than it already is? I'm glad to know Kim wears a head covering as well. It's not just me. I'd be thinking of clothes as well that don't absorb it, and that you come in and just take everything off and put clean on. Get it in the wash. But you know what I'm like. I'm not going out anyway. Mind you, apparently, according to that Pennsylvania page that Kim's found, you can get into enough trouble in the house. There are no words for things like that. But Kim, thank you very much for giving me the biggest laugh of the day. I'll go through that now with a fine tooth comb. Absolutely fabulous. Well, tomorrow it's Two Show Friday, so I've got to head off and write an email when I've decided what we're actually covering. I know what we're doing for the majority of it. I've got one option. I've got this fantastic app. It's brilliant. Brand new. Can I get the last bit working? No, I can't. So unfortunately, might not be able to do that until I can get the very last bit working. So I'll have another dabble with it and then throw the email together. Kim believes if everyone was like me, this virus wouldn't be over. Well, no, this virus would be over. Totally agree. I just wouldn't have gone out at the beginning. When they said 3 weeks, I thought, let's be honest, 3 weeks isn't going to do it. But 9 might, 9 or 12 might. And surely we can all stay home for 12 weeks, I thought. If everybody had, honestly, I think it would be over. The other thing I said was to close the borders. Why are they still letting people fly in from anywhere in the world? We're not even stopping that till next week. So thank you, Kim. I believe if everyone behaved like you did, Kim, it would all have been over months ago as well. We're sanity, either side of the planet. Ooh, now Tracy says, Catalonia has 600 ICU beds. They're awful. Currently in municipal lockdown, can't leave town or the village you live in, except for work or medical appointments. They've prolonged it for another fortnight. We've been told the middle of March, but to be honest, they'd already said the end of March with a review in February, I think. So I think they just intend to leave this you are in lockdown on until they can get away with it. But the problem is people aren't, it doesn't feel like the first one. And then the one they had in November, just before Christmas, was basically so we could all meet up at Christmas. And didn't that go well? Because now the stats are going crazy. So people aren't taking any notice. That's the problem. It's not being enforced. I mean, if people can't leave the town or village, we've seen on the TV in Spain, and I don't know which part of Spain, that there's like roadblocks and the police are checking. Is that happening, or are you kind of on your honour not to do it? Because here, people are being caught, but they all seem to be being caught at McDonald's. So I don't think there's much in the way of dissuasion to dissuade people to meander around. I mean, today there was an accident on the M60 and it closed. You should have seen the traffic. And I'm looking, thinking, where are these people going? Where were they going at 2 o'clock this afternoon? Because if you were going to work, you'd probably have gone in the morning. Yes, people do shifts, but you wouldn't have a motorway full of people doing shifts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The shops aren't open. I don't understand where all these people came from. But it caused one almighty traffic jam, which in the first lockdown, the first 3 weeks, we didn't see much in the way of traffic jams because the traffic usage was just dropped like a stone. Oh, Simon's mum's in Spain. There are fines if you don't wear a mask in the street. Can you imagine that here, though, Simon? If you tried to enforce that, the people trying to enforce it would just get spit at. Because that's what people seem to be like. I can't understand it, but there you go. There are roadblocks, but personally, we haven't found them. Went on a work call. They look like they've... It looks a little bit like a toll point on a motorway, and they've got like huge concrete blocks narrowing the lanes down to the point that you have to stop. And I'm assuming tell them where you're going and what you're doing, which in itself would probably dissuade some people from going out, because, you know, you won't be able to just nip out and then nip back. You'd have to go all through these roadblocks. But no, we're not doing anything like that. Nothing at all. The roadblocks are mostly to keep the city dwellers in. I can understand that, Tracy. Living in Greater Manchester, I can totally understand that. I remember someone saying, they were in a tier four in Greater Manchester, but they were literally within sight of the Cheshire border. Like it was like 100 yards away. And she said, well, can't I just head south because they're there in a level two? And like, yeah, but you're in a level four. Yes, but only by a few 100 yards. Like, just stay where you are, for God's sake. This is not difficult. But these are the kind of conversations. And why can't I have my hair done? And I need my nails doing. The things that people say that they need, as far as I'm concerned, are absolutely ludicrous. I'm just working backwards with like, do I need to get any shoes? No, I think I'll wear my slippers. That way my shoes are last a bit longer. Do I need to get my nails done? Well, they've not been done since about 1984, so probably not. Oh, everyone wears a mask in the streets. No spitting here. I wish it was like that for us. I would be concerned about going out. I mean, people are stood in supermarkets arguing and saying, you know, I'm not wearing a mask. And when they are asked to wear a mask, they are being, the security staff at the supermarkets are being spat at, which there's just never, ever any reason for behaviour like that. But certainly not right now. But it just seems to be quite common. It's like everybody's angry. In the local area, probably in the city, people are beginning to feel a little bit like, you know, maybe I should live in a village. But most of the time they want to live in a city because it's jumping. I remember when I moved to London for university, and one of the things that my mum really envied was the fact that Sunday, the place was alive. Now, bearing in mind, I lived in Finchley in North London, which is very close to Hampstead and somewhere else down for actually, I've not lived there for a long while, but Finchley was the centre of where I lived, and it was a very predominantly Jewish area, so they were closed on a Saturday. They had reason to be open on a Sunday. They were allowed to open on a Sunday, the shops and cafes there, because they were closed on a Saturday. On Saturday it was quiet, but on Sunday the place was jumping. And Mum said, like, I wish the shops could open on a Sunday. And now we've got that, and it's like, oh, it's not good. Everywhere's just mad busy on a Sunday. There is no kind of let's all take a moment and breathe day anymore, because they're all open all the time. But clearly that has become the norm for people, and if they can't do that, they don't know what to do with themselves. I despair of people, basically. The MacBiters are a totally different breed, obviously. Kim says everyone at Costco wears a mask. There, we have rules at Costco here. We've got a Costco card. And we keep getting the updated rules, and there's staggered opening times, which there were anyway for different categories of member. But they're now like letting people in on 10-minute rotas. They are being very, very, very careful. But, you know, it can happen anyway, no matter how careful they are. So I wouldn't go unless they absolutely needed to. And luckily, they do mail order. I don't know if they do in the States, but they will deliver here. So pretty much everything and anything we need could be delivered. I mean, if you think about, like Anthony said, computers needed for work, I wouldn't be able to go out and get one from the local store anyway, whether I wanted to or not. And at the moment, they're closed. But I wouldn't go out anyway because it was built to order. So it needed hard drive upgrades and all kinds of other things. And then I needed to put the RAM in it. So I wouldn't have gone out for that anyway. I don't think there's anything that I would actually go out for. Seriously. One thing I had to buy, which I wasn't intending to buy, but it broke, was my Apple Watch strap. So I'm wearing something that I probably wouldn't have chosen to wear. But, you know, they're three in a packet and it was £4.50, and I thought that'll do. It'll see me through until, you know, I can go out and find one that I really, really like. Same with a case for an iPad or a phone or something. they tend to be more expensive on Amazon than we could get them at local markets. And some of the stalls on the local markets, the stuff they have is amazing. And you can look at it. You can, is it good quality? Does it fit properly? Whereas, you know, on Amazon, you can't. What I've done in relation to that, I wanted to buy this thing. It's quite a weird thing. It's an iPad stand of sorts, but it's like a cushion. I looked at them and I read the reviews of them, and I'm very sceptical about whether the reviews are good, bad or indifferent. But I did something that I wouldn't normally have done. What I would normally do is go out to the market and I'd be able to see the things there, and it would probably have cost me about half the price. But I looked on Amazon and I could see from the pictures, these things are like a cushion for your iPad, basically. The iPad's more comfortable than I am, put it like that. And it didn't fit. You could see that the cover on it didn't fit properly. And I'm thinking, there's no way that's going to stand. You know, it's going to slip and come off. So I found this one and I ended up spending £5.50 more because it looked better in the photo. Literally, it's come down to that. When it arrived, pretty decent. So I probably did the right thing. But I wouldn't go out just because I want a particular watch strap or I want to save some money because, you know, you get this, you've no idea how it will take you. Even if you get through it without being hospitalised, you could still have long COVID and it's not worth the risk. Nothing's worth the risk. So be it a handbag or lipstick was another one. I've got to go out for that because I've got to try it on, I heard. Why are you wearing lipstick at the moment? Who's coming round? Oh, you're back to that again. You don't need it. But there you go. Kim strips down, throws the clothes directly in the washer. That's the best way. I know what the medics are doing. They're taking a carrier bag to work and they're taking off the scrubs because they have to wash their own scrubs. I know we've talked about this and that's not normal anywhere else. But here you've got to do your own washing. So poor Rachel's, they only provide, I think, one set of scrubs. So you have to take that home and wash it every night. What Rachel's done is actually buy more scrubs. So she's had to buy her own equipment. And then they take it off at work, put that into the carrier bag, transport that back home in the boot. And then when she gets in, she takes off the clothes that she's just put on at work and puts those and the scrubs in the washing machine. But the washing machine's on literally every day. It must be costing an absolute fortune. You've gone down from like a week to a day. So there's seven times the washing that there would be. But best way to do it, that's exactly what I would do, Kim. I didn't deem it necessary from cutting the hedge. Oh, talking of the hedge, tomorrow in the week of Matt Bites headquarters, with the snow and all the rest of it, got a beautifully backlit photo of the hedge, which I trimmed a while back. So if you remember when it was wild, yeah, now it's perfect. So you'll see that tomorrow, my hedge work. I left it until it was that cold, it wouldn't grow anymore, and then just did the lot. I think we've just about got rid of it. It took that long after we did it because we had to batch it up to fit it into the minuscule bins because the other alternative, of course, was to take it to the tip. And apparently, because that's one of the few places you can go at the moment, it's become a tourist attraction. So we're not going to the tip either. You couldn't make this stuff up. You couldn't. Night, Simon. Luckily, Dr. B has his scrubbed wash via the hospital, strips down to zero before putting them on, though, and showers before refitting his street cloak. But way to go. Way to go, Tracy. But no, they have to wash their own. And obviously that means putting it on like the highest wash, which is costing a fortune. It would be a nice thing if they made the nurses have to pay on a per year basis into, I think it's the Royal College of Nursing, for a certificate to practice. I think it would be nice if they waived the fee this year, don't you? Anyway, that's the excitement for today. Much more excitement tomorrow with Two Show Friday. So, as I say, going to head off and work out what I can do with that app that's not behaving itself. Story of my life, isn't it? But for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me. I'll say goodnight from Mike, who's deep in a Catinian meeting. Important one tonight, apparently. And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.